Hello and welcome to Tantramar Report on CHMA 106.9 FM. We're broadcasting from Sackville, New Brunswick, the heart of the Maritimes, on the traditional and unceded lands of the Mi'kmaq people. I'm Erica Butler. It's Wednesday, December 22nd. Coming up on today's show, Tuesday's provincial COVID-19 update contained lots of new information, from new rules coming into effect next week, to a new system for contact tracing, to a new model showing the impending growth of cases in the province. We'll take a close listen and break down what we heard. We'll also share some exciting news on behalf of CHMA, with a new voice debuting on Tantramar Report. But first, this local news and information. The town of Sackville has been shut out of changes to the province's plan for municipal reform. Last Thursday was the deadline for municipalities to send in feedback on the sweeping changes to New Brunswick's municipal map, which includes the proposed amalgamation of the town of Sackville, the village of Dorchester, and surrounding local service districts. Just 5 days after that deadline, the province has released its list of adjustments to the proposed municipal boundaries. The recommendation for Sackville to merge with its neighbors remains the same. Other municipalities in the Southeast Regional Service District will see some changes. The village of Petit Kodiak, previously slated to go it alone, will now be combined with surrounding local service districts in the Elgin area. A bit farther north, the town of Rishabuktu, which had been slated to join with a neighboring local service district, will now be combined with the village of St. Louis de Kent and two other districts to form a much larger entity. The adjustments are numerous and sometimes substantive, but Sackville's request for adjustments did not make the list. The town of Sackville had sent in a proposed alternative to the provincial government last week after discussing the issue in a closed council meeting on December 15th. The town suggested that its borders be left untouched and that instead the village of Dorchester be merged with the village of Port Elgin and all surrounding local service districts to form an entity twice as big as those originally proposed by the province. CHMA has reached out to the province and Sackville Mayor Sean Michaud for comment. The RCMP are investigating two suspicious fires that took place over the weekend in Sackville. Two tractor trailers parked at Fortec Forestry on Crescent Street in Sackville burned sometime overnight between Saturday and Sunday, December 19th. And an excavator belonging to the same company that was at a worksite in Rockport also burned. The RCMP have not issued a news release about the incidents and have not responded to information requests by phone or email. Crescent Street property owner Richard Bond said someone called 911 in the early hours of Sunday morning, and the Sackville Fire Department responded. Both tractors are ruined, said Bond, but the trailers appear relatively unharmed. There is video surveillance of the property, says Bond, which police have seen as part of their investigation. Sackville experienced a rare traffic jam on Tuesday as people lined up in their vehicles to drive through a rapid test kit pickup site at the Tantramar Civic Center. During the morning, cars were seen lined up in both directions along Main Street, from McDonald's to the Swan Pond. People could drive or walk in to pick up test kits of 5 or 25 up until about 2:30 p.m. Though rumors circulated of low supply, people reported picking up tests well into the afternoon after the traffic had cleared. Last week, 680 packs were handed out at the mobile pickup site. The Mount Allison Students Union Green Investment Fund is looking for applications for environmental initiatives in the Sackville region. Any community member can apply, and the MASU Sustainability Committee will accept applications until January 10th. Past projects have included funding towards a Salem Elementary outdoor classroom, an electric vehicle charger for the town of Sackville, and the installation of solar panels at the Wetlands Center, and initiatives to help people increase the energy efficiency of their homes. More information and application forms are available at masu.ca. New Brunswick is on a steep upward trend of daily new COVID-19 cases, even before taking into account the new, more transmissible Omicron variant, according to a model presented in a news conference Tuesday by Dr. Jennifer Russell.
At that pace, our modeling suggests that we could see up to 250 new cases each day by early January and as many as 400 new cases a day by the end of next month.
The model is based on current trends in New Brunswick, where the Delta variant is the dominant variant. The model's author, UNB physicist Dr. Sanjeev Sarah, confirmed that the steep projection is based on a model that does not have Omicron in it. As of Tuesday, just 71 of the current 1,268 active cases of COVID-19 in the province have been identified as the Omicron variant. The province has not shared details of where specifically Omicron is spreading, but on Monday, the Department of Health confirmed that the variant has been detected in four health zones so far, zones 1, 2, 3, and 7. Despite the steep upward trend in New Brunswick's daily new cases, the number of people in hospital has remained steady for the past 12 days, sitting in the low 40s. Dr. Russell pointed out on Tuesday that early indications are that Omicron will not be as severe as other strains, but that may not prevent the healthcare system from being overwhelmed.
The sheer volume of cases will result in a larger number of severely ill patients. That will put an even greater strain on our healthcare system. The interim measures introduced last week will help to slow the spread of the virus, at least temporarily, but it won't stop it. No one should expect that we will escape the aggressive spread of this virus that our neighbours are already experiencing. That is why we will have to do more in the days and weeks ahead to buy us the time we need to get even more New Brunswickers vaccinated and boosted.
Premier Blaine Higgs was also on hand at Tuesday's briefing to deliver news about increased public health measures coming to effect after Christmas on December 27th. Higgs announced the province will head into a slightly altered version of the level 2 restrictions in the previously announced winter plan. Higgs said the new level of restrictions will happen after Christmas in order to give people and businesses time to prepare. The new level 2 will see the 2-household bubble replaced by a steady 10.
At level 2, New Brunswickers must limit their household contacts to a maximum of a steady 10 individuals. This will offer some flexibility and will align with what is happening in other jurisdictions while keeping contacts low. Also, at level 2, patrons are still permitted to dine in at restaurants, but restaurants will operate at 50% capacity and either have barriers or 2 meters of distance between tables.
All businesses, including retail stores, will be asked to move to 50% capacity. Churches will also have to reduce capacity by half. And people are being asked to work from home if possible. Current measures limiting sports activities will continue. In addition to new measures coming next week, the province also announced a major change to how contact tracing happens.
Contact tracers will no longer be notifying close contacts of confirmed COVID-19 cases. This will be the responsibility of those who are infected, and this is what is happening as well in Nova Scotia. Public health will provide advice to infected persons on what to tell their personal close contacts regarding testing and isolation procedures. Public health contact tracers will only contact the individual who tested positive or their employer and will provide them with isolation and testing guidance, as well as instructions on how to notify the close contacts using template letters. Public health will only step in for contact notifications if no other means are available.
The province is also going to rely more heavily on point-of-care rapid tests, especially when it comes to school outbreaks. Dr. Russell said Tuesday that any school with a single case of COVID-19 will require all staff and students to perform daily rapid tests before coming to school. Higgs said that the use of rapid tests in the province has resulted in a number of cases being caught and later confirmed by PCR testing.
Many of the recent positive PCR tests have come as a result of people doing rapid tests, getting a positive result, and booking a PCR test to confirm. Having these tests available helps to give New Brunswickers peace of mind as they gather for the holidays, knowing that they are not passing COVID-19 to loved ones. Getting rapid test kits in the hands of New Brunswickers doesn't just happen. It has taken a lot of organization and effort on the part of many people. Thank you for your hard work. You are making a difference for individual New Brunswickers and for our province.
Sackville's rapid test site operates weekly on Tuesdays, but will be closed next week for the holidays. A mobile unit is in Port Elgin today, and for the rest of the week, the closest location will be the hub site on Mountain Road in Moncton, which is open from 1 to 6 p.m. daily, but closing early on Christmas Eve. Before we let you go today, we've got some personal news to share. CHMA News is growing. Thanks to the support of our monthly local journalism sustainers, the Rotary Club of Sackville, and the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative, 2022 will bring a new voice to Tantramar Report. Journalist David Gordon Koch is joining the CHMA news team on a part-time basis starting in January. And what better way to introduce our listeners to their new local reporter than to call him up for an interview, which is what I did yesterday afternoon. Welcome, David.
Thank you.
So I'm sure many people recognize your name already from your byline in the Times and Transcript. Can you just tell us a bit about yourself?
Sure. Well, I've been working full-time as a reporter for almost 4 years, but I actually started doing news reporting as a volunteer for a school newspaper at the University of Victoria in BC, where I'm from. And then I got super involved in radio at CKUT, which is the campus community station at McGill in Montreal, and then started freelancing when I was finishing my undergrad. So we're talking about slightly over 10 years ago at this point.
So it's been a while. And you're not originally from the East Coast. You're from out west?
Yeah, I'm from Victoria. I grew up in Victoria, BC.
So in your work at the Times and Transcript, what would you say, what kind of stories do you, or your work before the Times and Transcript, including that, what kind of topics, what kind of stories do you like to cover? What are you drawn to?
Well, right now in Moncton, I've been working a lot on the homeless situation with the shelters reporting full capacity in Moncton, and COVID outbreaks having occurred at both of the downtown emergency shelters since September. That's been a major area of focus. I'm interested in issues like climate change, labor, indigenous rights, and did I say climate change?
Yeah. Yeah. Very interested in climate change.
Yeah, and I think as a reporter, I'm really interested in how people's stories interact with the big structures of the state and the market. And I don't know, I think that there's kind of a basic dignity that people have. And I try to communicate their struggles, that spirit of people's basic dignity in my work.
That sounds great. And that's a good principle to be working from, I would say. All right. So, David, I mean, we're going to start to hear your voice more in January when you get started with CHMA. How do you feel about moving from, covering the big city of Moncton to the small, much smaller town of Sackville?
I'm really excited about it. I'm looking forward to it. I already spent a lot of time in Sackville. And I think that I'll also be continuing to follow developments in Moncton and possibly write about those as a freelancer as well. So I think I'll probably be doing both.
Can we also mention you're also going to be doing some work for the NB Media Co-op, right? So you'll be when you move on from the Times and Transcript, you'll be writing and reporting for CHMA and also working for the Media Co-op as well.
Yeah, so I'm going to be starting with the Media Co-op doing part-time admin work, uploading their stories to web and sharing them on social media and other stuff like that. So I'm looking forward to getting back into the world of independent media at CHMA and also with the New Brunswick Media Co-op.
Yeah. Well, we're really looking forward to it, and hopefully that will even facilitate some collaborations with CHMA and the Media Co-op. We'll see what that brings in January. But we're very excited to get you started.
Thanks so much, Erica.
So we'll hear your voice a little more in January. Thanks very much, David. Have a great day.
Thank you.
That was David Gordon Koch, who will be working with CHMA News starting in January. That's it for CHMA's Tantramar Report for this Wednesday, December 22nd. This is our last show before we take a bit of a holiday break on Tantramar Report. But during that break, we'll continue to bring you local voices 3 days a week with our Year in Review series, featuring local voices like Mayor Sean Michaud and MLA Megan Mitten, recapping the highlights of the year and looking forward to 2022. Tune in again on Friday at 9 a.m., noon, or 4 p.m. for our first Year in Review conversation with Mayor Michaud. Until then, we hope you will get in touch with your comments or questions at news@chmafm.com. I'm Erica Butler. Thanks for listening.